This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors. Yeah, it's time to hop on the crazy train.
All aboard!
Welcome to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors, presented by Coleman Insect Repellents. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train with the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Hey, folks, it's the second hour of power with your hosts, Danny Bush and me, Tommy the True Neubauer. We welcome you for the second hour. We're glad you're joining us this morning. This is a really nice morning. Of course, they're talking about maybe a chance of rain today, but it's going to be warm today and tomorrow with a chance of rain, of course. Anyway, we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live. We are unrehearsed. And it's not always all fishing, all hunting all the time. If you want to get some marriage advice or whatever. We talk about a number of different things here on the show, but we try to keep it lively. We try to keep it interesting. And if you want to get involved in the show, all you got to do is give us a buzz at 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. And right now, I think we have our special guest, Steve Schmid. He is from the Bone Collectors North American Whitetail Championship, and he's going to tell us all about that. You got him on the line there, Cody? All right. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Hey, I can hear you great. Did you drive by a better cell tower?
I did.
Oh, okay. That's great.
I had to crawl out of the Northwoods.
All right. Well, yeah, but you know what? That's great being up there, though. It really is. So,
Northern Wisconsin's beautiful.
It is. So tell us all about this Bone Collectors North American Whitetail Championship. What is that all about?
Well, what it is, guys, is it's we believe it's the first nationwide whitetail deer hunting tournament of its kind. And what we did is we created this tournament to give the average guy, the you and me's of the world, a chance to showcase our hunting skills.
Yeah.
To get our 15 minutes of fame and to have a lot of fun. But the biggest thing is that if you win this tournament, you have a chance to win $50,000 in cash.
Wow. Wow.
So, basically, how it works, guys, is there's a $300 entry fee, and I know everybody freaks out and says, wow, that sounds like a lot of money, but if you kind of follow along, there's a ton of value in that $300. First of all, there's two parts to this championship. The first part is the regional championship that qualifies you for the championship hunt in 2019 down in Kansas, where there's the land of the giant white-tailed deer. So once you enter and you pay the $300, we automatically, immediately send you a 100 gear package that's valued at almost $400. So inside this 100 gear package, and all this gear is yours to keep, is a Tacticam camera. There's some trophy tape in there by Wild Game Nation. I'll explain that in a minute. But there's also some G5 dead meat broadheads in there for you. There's a new bow sight in that box. There's some hunting clothing, some fleece clothing in that box for you. There's an ozone unit for you. So this is all gear that the hunter gets to keep. But the important part of that box is that Tacticam camera and that trophy tape.
Right. That's important, that camera.
Absolutely. The whole thing is run by you videoing your own hunt. So when you sign up for the tournament, you'll first be in the regional qualifiers, and that's in 2018. So a guy signs up, you just hunt like you normally would this fall. You hunt your land, public land, it doesn't matter. But what you do is you have to film your hunt, and there's a set of instructions on our website on how to do that. But once you harvest a deer, you submit that, and that's your entry into the regional qualifiers.
And don't now, you have to use that tape then? You got to video that too?
Exactly. Yeah. There's a set of instructions. So you video your actual harvest, you video then you scoring your own deer, and then you submit your video through our website. You just download it to the website, okay, and you're entered. There's actually three ways you can get to the championship. So winning the region by shooting the largest Pope and Young scored buck automatically qualifies you for the championship. There's two other ways you can get there. One is if you harvested a deer and you submitted it, but you didn't win the region, your name goes into the governor's drawing, and we're going to draw two lucky hunters' name out of a hat that automatically qualify for the championship. Mm-hmm. The other two ways that you can get there, there's two other chances to get the championship, and that is we've had some amazing industry leaders step in behind this and get behind it and support it. And they're supporting it because they think this is one of the best ways that we can celebrate the sport of deer hunting and get people excited about this, you know, about hunting again. So what they did is they stepped up and they're going to sponsor two people. So if you bought a sponsor product, one of the sponsors' product, you submit that receipt to us and your name goes into a drawing for two people. Mm-hmm. So literally there's three ways that you can get to the championship. Once you get to the championship, that's where you're going to compete for a $50,000 grand prize.
And that's down in Kansas.
And that is in Kansas. Yeah. It's a place called Wicked Outfitters in Lacine, Kansas. And believe me, guys, it's the land of the giants. Mm-hmm. They shoot several deer that'll go over 200 inches every year.
Wow. We're talking with Steve Schmidt of Bone Collectors North American Whitetail Championship. And Steve, got a quick question. You're talking about a region. What's our region here?
So the country is broken into 14 different regions, which includes 28 states. So our region here is Wisconsin and Minnesota. So what that means is when you sign up for this tournament, you're only competing in that with the other hunters that signed up in that region. So you're only hunting against the guys in Minnesota and Wisconsin. It's the only way we can make it fair because of deer genetics and mm-hmm. the numbers of deers and those kind of things. But if you look at out on our website, there's a regional map, and it'll define each one of those 14 regions.
Hey, I got a quick question.
Oh, this is Danny, by the way. Hey, he's
Steve.
Here now.
Hi, Danny.
Hey, good day. Thanks for joining us today. I just popped in the studio a little later after you guys started the interview. Quick question. You know, there are some game farms where people have giant bucks and people pay, okay, I want to get shoot that one. You got any way to avoid someone kind of trying to cheat like that?
We do. If you go through our rules, the eligibility rules will clearly outline there's no high fence and there's no professional hunters. So even though Michael Waddell and the Bone Collectors are a big part of this thing, Michael can't compete in this because he makes his living hunting deer.
Gotcha.
But we do. There's two ways to make sure that they're not high fence hunt deer. One is, if you've ever been around a lot of video and you've seen a lot of deer, they stand out like a sore thumb. You can tell by their racks whether they were pen raised or they're wild raised. The other thing is that we have a device that's in that camera that we actually know where you shot that deer.
Oh, a GPS.
There's a GPS.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Because
I'll
tell you what, I'm a muskie fisherman, Steve, and I used to do some of the tournaments, and there was couple of muskie series that for big money, and there was a pair of guys that everybody, you know, they were legendary for years. They'd always somehow finish in the top, and then it kind of came to light that there was some shenanigans going on. I think at the end they refused to take a lie detector test and were never heard from again. So anytime there's big money involved, whether it's $50, $25 for the biggest crappie at an ice fishing tournament, people will cheat, unfortunately. Yeah.
But having that GPS in the camera, that is cool.
Yeah, that, wow.
You thought that one out. Good for you.
It, it took us over a year to figure out all the governance for this tournament, guys. So that was our biggest concern. If you hang a, you know, $50,000 grand prize out there, somebody's going to try to cheat it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go through the, one of the other ways we make sure that is if you go through how to video your kill, is that there's literally steps. You have to video the area around where your stand is. Then you have to have the actual kill on camera. And immediately you have to turn that camera on you. We want to make sure it's you and not one of your buddies that are killing that deer. Mm-hmm.
So the important thing, guys, is if you don't want your wife to know everywhere you went, don't always bring that camera with you in the truck. That's all I got to say.
Great point, Dan.
Oh, man. You know, I wish years ago you would have had this. One of my son's brother-in-laws, he shot it was a 14-pointer. It had tines on the base that were almost as big as a soda can. That thing was, I forget what it scored. It was really, really big. He got it with a bow. And, boy, I wish he would have been in something like this then, you know. Yeah. That would have been cool.
Yeah, it sounds like a great promotion, and you got some great products involved, great companies, and especially for your entry fee.
Yeah.
It's worth it just for the stuff you get.
Yeah. Hey, give a little list of the people that are sponsoring this, the companies.
Absolutely. So we're backed by the Bone Collectors. We're backed by Realtree, Thompson Center Fire, Prime Archery, G5 Outdoors, Tacticam, obviously, with the cameras, Scent Crusher. Big and Jay, Bushnell, you know, that's just a handful of them. There's quite a few of them. And every day we get another call saying, this is the coolest thing ever. Can we be part of it? So they're the sponsors are piling up behind it.
Okay. So,
which brings me to another good point, guys. I want to emphasize, this isn't all about big deer. That's why we came up with the governor's drawing. You can literally, some guy up in northern Wisconsin wants to harvest a spike and he wants to submit it. You're still in that drawing. You still have a chance to qualify for the championship.
Yeah, you do.
Compete.
Now, that championship down in Kansas, you just got to show up. Is that it? Do you have lodging for the people and whatever?
It's fully guided. So we've got lodging, food, beverages, guides. Everything will be provided for them. So when the guys qualify for the championship, they'll get there. They'll draw from three different wind direction stands, and those are their stands to hunt for the week.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's going to happen is Thompson Center is going to give everybody a brand new Bone Collector muzzleloader. Bushnell is going to put a brand new scope on it, give you range finders and binoculars. There's all the other sponsors are stepping up. The guys that get to Kansas are going to walk away with, you know, once you get there, you're already a winner.
You
have a trunk full of gear.
Why a muzzleloader?
The championship is actually a muzzleloader hunt down in Kansas. And the reason being is that the Kansas muzzleloader season is early September. The big deer are still in their summer patterns. Down at that outfitters, they harvest some really big monsters that time of year. And it's, you know, the weather's decent, so it's easy to do it. But the other reason is that doesn't procure you guys that want to get into this tournament from also getting into next year's tournament, because it's actually a two-year event. You qualify in 2018 for the championship in 2019. You qualify for the 2020 championship in 2019. So you can come down there, be crowned champion, come back home and still bow hunt and be in the tournament the following year.
All right. And the website, if people want to learn more about it, exactly what's going on and who to contact, where to contact, it's nawtc.com, right?
Absolutely. And all the information's out there. We've even got a video out there that explains the tournament, so you don't even have to read if you don't want to. You can just watch the video.
All right. Well, Steve, let me give that again one more time. NAWTC.com. It's basically the North American Whitetail Championship. That's NAWTC.com. Yeah.
That's correct. And also, guys, follow us out on Facebook. It's the North American Whitetail Championship out there on Facebook and Instagram also. A lot of things happening. If you don't mind, I'll mention one other thing.
Yeah.
The hunting is not the only way you can win in this tournament. We've been giving away, if you're registered in the tournament, you've paid your $300. We've had hunter drawings since the beginning of this in May. We've got hunts that we're giving away. We just gave a guy in Ohio a free hunt in Kentucky for whitetail. We got a Canadian Saskatchewan hunt coming up that we're going to draw for in a couple weeks. We have Kansas deer hunts. We have a Canadian bear hunt. We have predator hunts. We have turkey hunts. We also given away some great gear. We just gave a guy down in Louisiana a brand new bow. We've given crossbows away, muzzleloaders, rifles. I mean, it's just by being in it, you're automatically entered in all of these drawings, and they're almost weekly, guys.
Well, Steve, we're up against a break, so we got to get going, but I just want to give that website one more time, nawtc.com, or go on Facebook, North American Whitetail Championship.
Sounds like a great program. Thanks for sharing, Steve.
And we'll be in touch with you, okay?
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Okay, we'll be in touch. Thank you, Steve.
Take care, man.
Okay, bye now. All right, this has been the Midwestern Shooters, or this is the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors with Dan Bush and me, Tom Neubauer. And we do have Cody Grant filling in today for Ryan Horvath, so stay tuned for more on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Get to heaven, you got to raise a little hell.
Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors. 799-1250 is the number. We were so busy rocking to the Ozark Mountain Daredevils, we didn't even realize we were coming back
here. Yeah, I know. I didn't know I thought Cody was just bringing it up.
You know, just getting it ready here, getting organized. Hey, before I forget... As always, every week, I want to thank the men in blue. I want to thank the law officers out there protecting us. Yep. Highly underappreciated, underpaid, and they're out there. And we at the Cutting Edge Outdoors are behind them 110%, and the first responders, and our service folks. Yep. And we stand for the national anthem.
You betcha. Hey, you know, you said, before I forget, I always thought that was a There was a guy who wrote a book with that title. I thought that was the greatest title of a book ever. It was a fishing book.
You want to raise
and
a little hell?
No. The name of the book was Before I Forget. And if it's an older guy writing the book, that's so apropos, right?
Apropos.
Before I forget.
Appropriate.
Yeah. Before I forget.
Apropos comes from apropos.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, I just learned how another... You're a genius, linguistic word was formed.
You're a genius.
Well, no, you're the genius of the show, Tom.
You're the genius.
No, you're way smarter. No,
you hooked up my stereo. You know?
I'm a dumbhead over here.
Yeah. Anyway, what now?
Anyway, so I got something important to talk about.
Oh, Al Shook is on the line.
Well, Al's got something important to talk about.
Let's talk to Al. Good morning, Al.
Hey, you guys are geniuses. You know, you both
ain't. Yeah.
I was just calling. I heard you guys talking about the waterfowl seasons coming up.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's a lot of things. First off, Danny, you don't make mistakes, but once in a while you do.
Okay.
Early goose season has always started on September 1st.
Oh, wow. I just didn't want to admit Tom was right over here.
Hey.
No matter what day of the week it is, it always starts. Hey. So every 6 years, it starts on a Saturday.
Danny was only wrong once in his life because he made a comment. He thought he was wrong, but he was actually right. So that was the only time he was wrong.
So it's not bing, it starts on Saturday.
Right.
It's blam, it starts on Saturday. I love shooting those magnum loads at the geese.
My dad used to say, I never was wrong, but I thought I was once, but it was a mistake.
Yeah, so. But it was a mistake.
Yep.
I think that's what I was trying to say.
This year with the waterfowl seasons, there have been a lot of changes and very exciting changes. As you know, I used to be the chairman for the Migratory Committee for the Congress.
Right.
And for years and years, we've pushed for seasons like we have now. Under my tenure, we used to open at noon on opening day. Now we get that half hour before sunrise. There used to be just two geese. Now we have three geese. And the goose season would run straight through after the regular waterfowl split. This year, we have two splits in the goose season. The goose season, the exterior goose season, will close with the close of duck season, December 3rd or 4th, and then open up again just before Christmas and run until January 6th. So you can hunt over that holiday period for geese where you never could before. It always would close just before Christmas. Well, now this year it's going to close early in December and then open up again just before Christmas. And we've got different bag limits this year. And, of course, In the past few years, we've actually added a teal season, something that the DNR and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said was never going to happen in the state of Wisconsin. But now it's established. We can have a teal season every year from now until it freezes over, as long as the stakeholders in the state vote to have it. It'll come up as a season option every year. And, of course, dove opens up on the first, and that is a very challenging sport. But all of their shooting, it takes some practice, and I belong to the Waukesha County Conservation Alliance, and we're having a fundraiser shoot out at Wern Valley today to raise funds to help the DNR pay for boat launches, piers, ADA handicap hunting blinds, and so on. So if you want to, Danny, you said you went out and smack some geese on Saturday.
Yep.
You may want to come out and shoot around a sporting clays and see how things are looking down the pipe.
Well, you know, compared to those short sporting clays, those geese look like pterodactyls. So I think I'm not as nervous about them as I am about shooting the pheasants with you.
Well, that's not too bad. And not this year, but next year. I picked up another puppy.
Oh.
Her name is Iffy. She's 12 weeks old. And Summer is helping her learn.
What kind of dog is it, Al?
A lab.
Yellow lab.
Oh, beautiful dogs.
Yeah, yellow lab. So,
I really miss hunting with Summer. I really like hunting with Summer. I could tell when she was going to flush a bird after hunting with her enough. You could tell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had a sticker on the back of my car that says my lab is smarter than your honor student.
Yeah. It'd be funny when Summer would be going off to a spot, kind of just where an area that we weren't exactly supposed to be working. We were going to get that later, but it would just kind of veer off. And when Al would yell and it would not come back, that's when,
you knew there was a bird.
You'd have
there.
To run over there. Cause the bird, Summer was thinking, listen, dummies, I'm out of bird right now. I'm not coming back.
Yeah. It's about 3 feet in front of my nose. If you don't get here, I'm going to grab it.
Yeah, exactly.
But, all right.
Yeah. It's the start of the season is next Saturday, the start of hunting. And then everything just falls into place after that. So practice your wing shooting challenges, your archery challenges, and everything. You got to get ready. Before you know it, there's going to be frost on the ground, and you're going to wonder what happened to the time.
That's so, right. Well, thanks for calling, Al. We do appreciate it.
You guys have a great day, and it's always a wonderful opportunity to talk to you guys on this show.
All right.
Take care.
All right, take care, Al. Thanks for calling. Bye now. That was Al Shook, member of the Wisconsin Conservation Congress.
He's the chairman of the Wisconsin Conservation Congress.
Yeah.
And he's very active and...
Have you noticed now, Danny, and this always happens at the end of October, August, it seems like, of course it always happens at end of August, but even though you might have very warm days like today, supposed to be 80 or above 80 degrees tomorrow too, but the nights are always cool. You notice that, and this is the time of the year that if you go out in the evening or later on at night, that you'll get that mist, that fog coming off the water. Because the water is still warm, but yet it's cooling down at night, and you get that fog, it's very eerie feeling.
The perfect time to go out and spot, strange phenomena and stuff.
Yeah.
On the
Let me ask you real quick, Danny.
Aliens.
You do a lot of trolling, okay? I don't do the trolling, but you do a lot of trolling. I don't. But how long into the season will you continue to troll?
For
the muskies, I'm talking about.
Nick called and the day we caught all those fish out there, that was actually a Labor Day weekend. It was on that Saturday, and I really didn't anticipate to do as well as we did. In fact, one of the fish I was going to mention, he said we had a double header. What happened was, we hooked a fish, and I put the boat in neutral after we had caught, photographed, and released the fish. When I wound in a floating line off to the side, I left one planer board line floating to the side. I wound it up, pulled the board off, started winding, and there was a heavy weight. And I said, can't believe it, guys. There's a fish on here. And that ended up to be one that was over 40 inches. So that one evidently must have, when I put the boat in neutral, it must have just slammed the bait.
Yeah.
And we never even knew there was a fish on there. That turned out to be a big one. So yeah. That was quite a day. But and then the following year, I took a guy out and we trolled 5 hours. And at 1 o'clock, we were supposed to quit. I figured, well, they're not saying nothing. I'm not. I hate to leave the water defeated. 115, he got a 48-incher. My dad years ago got his biggest with me on a September 11th. Funny how these days stick in your mind. But then typically the casting bite starts, although...
Well, I was, Andy...
But you can get them all the way through. One time, Steve Milliot, in 17 feet of water on the South Shore, he caught 7 fish in November trolling. So,
oh, really?
That, yeah.
In November.
Another time, it was late October, I had a couple out, and we cast till about noon, and we started trolling in 20 feet right off the narrows there. And we hadn't trolled, you know, a couple hundred yards, and he hooked... a real nice mid-40s fish, which his wife was videotaping it all the way to the boat, then it shook off. Didn't get it quite in the net. So, yeah, you never know.
Because I was going to say, September, we still have nice weather in September. You know, it can still be warm and all that. It's nice weather. You know, cooler nights, but, you know, sunny days, warmer day, you know, warm days. And so that water temperature doesn't go down that fast in September, you know, really. It's usually in October when it usually does that. So, really, trolling should be good. All through September, really?
Yeah, you know, you can catch them trolling any time of the year, and you can catch them casting any time of the year.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of like not all muskies are in the same place. Just like if we go down the street, yeah, there's some people over at this bar over here. There's people at this restaurant here. There's people here, but they're not all at the same place.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So, and fish and wildlife. I mean,
and of course. They never read the same books we do.
Same books. I will say that for the deep water working suckers, I've always enjoyed. Earlier in the season, I like working the deep weed edges, but as you get into late October, November, that's when I like to get out to those deep water areas, especially where there's a deep drop off, where maybe it goes from 20 feet to 40 feet.
Yeah,
or, you know, there's a sharp drop and work those areas with suckers banging on the bottom. Yeah. That's
especially
typically around that third week of October.
Yeah, I especially like that. Yeah, starting around then and then into November, those deep drops like that, yeah, those are always good. Hey, listen, we got to go to a quick break. Stay tuned for more. We got stuff going on, 799-1250. Got any questions or comments, or if you just want to talk to the handsome and smart Cody Grant.
And I got my gripe of the week I want to come back with.
Oh, gripe of the week.
Bushy's got his gripe of the week.
You know what?
We got to make that a regular segment.
I've got so
many. You can't do it because you gripe all the time anyway.
That's what I mean.
But
I've got so many gripes.
I'm Mr. Positive over here.
You know, my wife says I'm getting like that old guy sitting on the porch saying, "Hey, you kids, get off my lawn."
That is you, Tom.
But that's not me.
Grumpy old man.
I'm not. I do.
You could have been one of those old guys in the
Muppets
theater years ago up the top.
I don't holler at him. I throw stones at him.
All right.
All right. Yeah, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back. You can catch us on both 1250 AM or 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooters Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for listening to us this morning. I'm Dan Bush, along with Tommy, the true Neubauer. And Tommy, you were muttering over there about
you got a gripe.
I got a gripe. Okay.
Yeah, you got a gripe.
Here's the gripe of the week. Okay, so you won't believe what I'm not blaming the DNR for it, but I guess the DNR did it. What they are putting up. At Brule River State Park.
That's way up north, right?
Yeah, you'll never guess. And I'm guessing this is going to be a thing of the future. It's probably everywhere.
A fish cleaning station.
Got that buzzer? Got that buzzer? Get that buzzer. There we go. Guess again, El Guapo.
A boat launch. A condominium. What are they going to put up there? At a state park.
You'll never guess.
A shooting range.
Okay. What? Hints. Think of young people today.
A nude beach.
Nothing but old guys like Gordy at nude beaches. People you don't want to see. Think of millennials.
They got a Wi-Fi. thing.
No. You're getting closer.
Video game outlets.
No. Okay. Come on.
Wi-Fi. Oh, a young hot people. Dog stand.
What do young people like to do?
Dance.
Think of Facebook.
Well, didn't I say that? Computer, Wi-Fi thingy? What? I don't know. Tell me.
They're putting selfie stands.
What the hell?
Selfie stands.
Selfie stands.
What the hell?
If I ever am caught.
Wait a minute.
Before you get to that. Okay, so basically what they are, you know how everybody likes to do my buddy Troy Woodrow. Troy, I love you, buddy, but you are the worst, dude. I'm taking a picture of you in front of.
Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. Here I am in front of the stop sign. Here I am and my dog here.
I've never done it once.
In fact, some lady took pictures of her and her stupid little dog, and it was on major network news going all over in front of Arizona.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to Arizona. Oh boy, that's what I want to see.
So what do they got?
Okay, it's like if you go to the DNR website, you can look. It's got like a plaque, I think.
Yeah.
And it says whatever, where you're at.
Yeah.
And then one of them has like a view through the woods down to the lake. So you can get this picturesque backdrop.
A view
of
and
you.
The background.
And, you know, if I'm ever caught, if I ever take a selfie, Tom, you have permission to just throw me overboard and, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I have never done it myself.
I'm not going to take a selfie. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm not part of the look at me generation.
Okay, we'll take this phone call
someone
first.
Someone else can take the picture.
Yeah, someone else can. That's fine. Yeah.
Right.
We'll take the phone call before we get to this email. Who you got, Cody?
Ben from Pewaukee.
All right. Hey, good morning, Ben.
Good morning. I just wanted to give a plug out there. There's an organization called the Waukesha Conservation County Alliance.
Okay.
That up. It's Waukesha County Conservation Alliance. And they're having a sporting clay shoot at Wern Valley today.
Yeah, Al Shook told us all about it.
Well, he didn't He just told us. Give us more details.
Yeah, more details.
Don't let Tom cut you off over there.
Right.
No?
More details.
Okay. Well, just we need more shooters out there. We're just trying to raise money for this organization. It's a great organization. They support lots of things all over the county. The money stays around here. And come out and have a great time.
So anybody can show up, shoot.
Yep.
How much does it cost?
I'm not positive of the cost. Usually around sporting clays is around $20.
That's not bad.
You got to bring your own shells, but I'm not positive of the cost. But you know, it's in line with what normal sporting clay shoots cost.
Is there any kind of thing afterwards, like in the clubhouse after the shoot? Any event or anything, or is it just
any food?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
I know there's going to be beer.
There we go.
Beer after the shoot, right?
What time is beer 30?
Yeah. When you're done shooting.
Okay.
All right. You got it in there.
All right.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Okay, take care, man.
Bye now. Bye. All right, here's this email. This is from Jack. He says, good morning, guys. Just wanted to know if you read the article in the Freeman paper where a guy wants to build condos downtown Pewaukee and put in a private pier so that they would lose the public pier down there. Your thoughts? Did you hear about that?
I haven't heard about that one.
Well, they want to put condos down there somewhere across from the beach area.
No, it wouldn't be there.
Wouldn't it? He says downtown Pewaukee.
Is it downtown?
And get rid of the public pier. And have a private pier.
That's where I live. They're going to tear my building down.
No, not there. Not there. I think
they're going to take beachside, you mean?
I don't know.
There's
some open land. There's a little bit of land. I don't know where
there ain't no land there.
I don't know where they
the
put
only
that.
Thing, they're not going to take Nagawicka Park on the other side.
No. He's talking downtown Pewaukee.
Oh, well, that would be right next to the beach, that public pier where people go out, that big wooden pier
and
fish.
Yeah, they got a public pier
for
fishing.
And they got the pavilion there, and they got the nice bands and stuff.
Oh, maybe they want to put it there to the west side of the pier.
That would suck because we don't want a big condo sticking out right there.
No, that's a beautiful beach area.
John Layman was always against. I mean, if John were a greedy guy, he could have sold his properties years ago to a bunch of greedy condo developers.
Yeah.
And he didn't want that. Development was good, like the beachside, like we talked about, but yet you want to have the access for the boaters and make it a recreational lake.
Yeah. You know, if people have never been there, you're right in downtown Pewaukee, the beach area there. I'll tell you what, that is such a really nice beach area that's nice, clean sand. The water is nice out there. It's all sandy, you know. I mean, when I go through there, I mean, I always see a lot of people, little kids playing in the sand and all that. It's and there's yoga people doing yoga stuff on one
hey,
side.
Hey, yeah. I got a story about that.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so last week, last week Sunday, there was a really good aerobics instructor named Angela.
Okay.
I'll put a plug in for her. She will be teaching next week Sunday at 9 o'clock right by Beachside Boat and Tackle there by Park Avenue Pizza.
On the beach?
Other sponsors. No.
Oh, no.
Yoga on paddleboards.
Oh, yeah. You told us about that.
Yeah, that'll be the last class of the year is Labor Day weekend. So last Sunday morning, tired as I was, I thought, I'm going to give the paddleboard yoga another shot.
And you stood on your head.
And I stood
on
my...
You told us,
No, I didn't tell you. The time before that, I didn't stand on my head. I stood on my head with somebody else out by myself just doing it.
Okay.
But I did it in front of the whole class.
Oh.
And it was a major... I thought, do I have no guts, no glory? Yeah. I thought, I know I can do this, but I don't want to be a fool and fall in.
So, Cody... What do you think?
God.
You ever going to do yoga?
So it's only $25.
$25 on a paddleboard?
Absolutely not. I don't have the flexibility or the concentration to do yoga in my room, more or less, on a paddleboard.
Okay.
I don't know if I can stay on a paddleboard.
Yeah, that's the first thing, too.
Look at me closely. Do I look like a guy who has concentration?
Do I look like a guy who has concentration?
Yeah, you got concentration problems.
Yeah. If I can do it. Point being, anybody can do it. Yeah. So I did that, did the class. It's a great workout. I was sweating afterwards. Yeah. And so you paddle on out, and they give you a little 8-pound dumbbell, which you use as an anchor.
Okay.
And you throw the rope over, and they go by the scrub island over there where all the crappies will be next spring again.
Right.
And you do it over there where it's nice and calm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really pretty cool. It's a good workout.
Oh,
so I'd encourage. Guys, take your girlfriend, take your daughter, take $25, do paddleboard aerobic out there.
Okay.
You'll see Bushy next week. Come on out. Bloody Marys are on me afterwards. No, orange juice.
No, I like the Bloody Marys better.
They're not good for you, Tom.
Well, forget the bloody part. Forget the tomato juice. Just fill it up with vodka.
Ooh.
I don't think that's called a Bloody Mary. I think that's just a vodka.
I think that's just, Or no, that would be a Bloody Mary, what do they call that? Hold the bloody, that's just called a vodka. Yeah,
Bloody Mary, hold the Bloody Mary.
hold the bloody, we don't need that.
And when we come back, I do want to talk about another shooting opportunity.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got another, but I think we're up. Are we going to be up against a break here
soon? Yeah, we can do a break. Sure, why not? Sure. Okay, Cody, take us to a break. This is the final countdown, Danny.
The final! Okay, let's not say we did.
Yeah, all
right. Let's sing it.
We got a caller on the line.
Hey, all right.
You got Bill on the line there? Bill from Bait Mart? Is that what you call it now, Bill?
That was Sportsman's Den.
You know, it's old habit. When we were in the Yellow Pages, I did Bait Mart, and I had that, I used to wholesale bait, so... I did that to get to the front of the book, but we don't use the Yellow Pages anymore.
Oh, yeah. So
it's supposed to happen for me, Bait Mart, Sportsman's Den.
Yeah, okay. 53rd and
Villard.
Villard, that's right.
Yep.
All right, so
good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, what's on your mind? What's the hot news in fishing?
Oh, the pan fishing and the fishing turned on Thursday night. Really, it was dead. It was a dead sea out there everywhere. And Thursday night, yesterday night, on Madison, along the wall, up in Beaver Dam. So they're biting again. They were really off there for a while with all that rain and that stuff that came through that front. So the guys that want to go pan fishing and that, get out there because this is our last hurrah before things start changing.
When you talk about the wall out in Madison, that's where people can fish from shore, right?
Absolutely. The more big walleyes come from that wall off of Madison. For the guys that want to cast lures at night, it's a rapid drop-off. The big fish come up on there and they feed, so you can get to deep water extremely fast. It's really a nice spot, that wall. It's there's roller, you know, if you want to watch the girls while you're fishing, they're all rollerblading out there, all the college girls. Oops, well, I missed another hit.
Yeah, yeah, you weren't paying attention to.
But, yeah, it really turned on Thursday night. It was a phenomenal bite.
Well, that's great.
And if guys want leeches, I still have jumbos, extra larges, everything. You won't find them anywhere but here, I don't think.
All right.
You know what? Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention, when I turned on when the bone collector was on.
Yeah.
My buddy just got in a tournament like that for $500 down in Indianapolis for bow hunting for rabbits and won it, 20 grand.
Bow hunting for rabbits. That's not easy.
But I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, geez, we get these younger kids involved with, like, tuition. If it was put the right way, we could get the kids involved for tuition and books and get these schools involved with it. Money motivates, and then they find out that the sport will motivate them.
Yeah, maybe down the road there will be some kind of college thing or a high school thing.
I think I'll start my big squirrel contest.
Get the kids out there is what I think.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That was my thought.
All right.
20 grand my buddy won. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. What's the phone number there at Baitmart?
414-464-2287.
All right, Bill. Thanks for calling.
Gentlemen, thanks a lot. Have
a
good week.
You too. Bye now. So, Danny, another week is done. We're supposed to have some rain today and tomorrow, but it's supposed to be warm, you know, so.
Whatever. I don't melt in the rain.
Yeah, I don't mind.
I was going to talk shooting here. WCTC, you know, our friend Brian Doro over there, you know, has that beautiful shooting range over
there. Right there in Pewaukee.
And you should check into it. They've got classes, all kinds of different cool classes out there, from concealed carry to everything. And the range, I've shot at the range. It's state of the art. It's like the best around indoor range. They got a shooting league's going to be starting in September.
Oh.
And they're going to have several divisions. Now, if you want information on it, you could go to WCTC and email R-Rosch, which is R-R-O-S-C-H. R-R-O-S-C-H. So it's R-R-O-S-C-H at WCTC.edu. So you can email them. I'm sure you could probably Google the range, and they have information on their website. But they're going to be doing it on Wednesday nights. And they've got several, like three different divisions. One is standard 22 pistol or a small caliber one hand. Then they've got a two-handed. They got like three different divisions that you can pick. So you can check into it. I'm almost tempted to go out there. I think it's like $75 and do that on Wednesday nights. Sounds like a fun time.
A shooting league. That's different. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And I don't know exactly. I talked to him a couple of years. I didn't do it then. It was set where the hours were spread out over a pretty good widespread time where you don't have to be there the exact time everybody else is.
Mm-hmm.
You just go in during that time frame, shoot, register your target, and so forth. So it'd be a good tune-up, if anything. If you want to get good at breath control and squeezing a trigger on a deer rifle, try doing something with an open, try shooting offhand, open sight handgun. You'll get used to, you know, control and it'll be easy shooting the deer rifle compared to doing this.
Right.
Good practice.
And you know, I you know, you had your gripe before. I got a little bit of a gripe too. Folks, when you're driving, freeway, highway, city streets, whatever, that little thing on the left side of the steering wheel that's called a directional, it lets us know which way you're going to go because the other motorists on the road are not mind readers. We don't know that you're going to be cutting in front of us.
The ones that are the worst are the motorcycles. When they get, especially if some clown on a crotch rocket.
Oh, going real fast.
And he's just going to zig and zag between. You know, it's so dangerous because you can see yourself almost hit. You can see yourself, God forbid, thinking about it, hitting one of those guys. Because if you go to change, let's say you're going to change into your right lane, left lane, whatever, they come up so fast.
You
could glance in your mirror. You could even head check.
Yeah.
They're coming 90 miles an hour. You could all of a sudden go to change lanes and
they're running into your back end.
Yeah. So it's scary. The other thing I thought about the other day too, you know, in Wisconsin, they make us wear seatbelts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yet motorcyclists don't have to wear a helmet, which that's never, you know, made sense to me. But I was going down the road the other day, and there was a couple dump trucks in front of a guy on a motorcycle with no helmet. And I'll tell you what.
Those little stones were coming out?
Yeah. No, there weren't.
Oh,
but
they could.
They could. I've had at least three windshields cracked and over the years where I had to get it fixed. So as soon as I see one of those dump trucks, I get around them.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. So do I.
So I'm thinking, if you took a rock to the head, you'd be dead.
On a motorcycle, I took a June bug to the arm. Wow, did that hurt. Those big June bugs. You hit one of those, they're coming at you.
And
you
hit one at 50
something. Yeah, I'm telling you, those June bugs. I don't ride anymore. I haven't ridden in years, but I'd have a helmet and a little windshield thing in front of my face.
Important safety tips, Egon.
Yeah, because I don't like flies in my mouth either.
Yeah.
And bees.
Yeah, I see them
and
coming
other
out all the time.
Well, Danny, that's all I got until next week.
That's all I got, buddy.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening, and God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors. Go out and do something nice for someone today, my friends. We'll talk to you all next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.